And good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. The election race is for the 5th Plymouth District. That includes Norwell, Hanover, and Rockland. Incumbent Republican State Representative Dave DeCoste is facing a challenge from Democrat Emmanuel Doctor. Thank you for joining us both tonight, gentlemen. Thank you. I'm your moderator, Christine James, joined by Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi and reporter Charles Mathewson, both asking questions. Timing us all, Amy Leonard, and we're joined by media partner Harbor Media providing video coverage. Thanks so much. Our own Larry Nelson is engineering tonight. Now, the format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements, opening statements no longer than 2 minutes, and a 1 minute close, please. Then we have a round of questions from our reporters, a lightning round, and that's where the answers are either yes or no, and we make you stick to that, or two sentences tops. We'll tell you what we want. In the regular portion, we ask that your answers be kept to 1 minute. We will time you. Amy will do a good job on that. If you keep talking, when that red piece of construction paper goes up, remember we have got green, red, and yellow, you get a 5-second grace period. And then the bell, and you have to stop talking. If you continue talking, we do cut your microphone. And if we find you also consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, you get the bell too. I have complete control of that tonight. So think carefully, speak quickly. We chose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie, as the official one's still missing. As we told you, disappeared at the last election season. No questions asked. Please return it. That's right. We're hoping by the end of this election season, we get it back. So I'd like to start tonight with opening statements. We chose the order randomly a bit just a few minutes ago. We're going to open with Dave DeCoste and then go to Emmanuel Doctor. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening. First of all, Christine, Charles, and Kevin, I'd like to thank you and, of course, Ed Perry, the owner and operator of WATD, for sponsoring the forum. Tonight, I'm asking the voters of Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland for the opportunity to serve once again as your representative in the state legislature. For those of you unfamiliar with my background, I was born and raised in the South Shore, and I'm a K-12 graduate of Norwell Public Schools. My family has occupied the same home for over 5 decades. I am familiar with this district, and I appreciate its history, and I'm committed to its well-being. In the interest of brevity, there's much more in my background at citizensfordecoast.com. Over for the past 5+ years and working with Governor Baker and the legislature, I'm happy to report that we have followed through on our promises to fully fund local aid at the highest level ever. We are funding road construction repair this year at an annual level higher than any previous fiscal year. We passed legislation making it tougher on drug dealers, easier on veterans and business people, which makes it more attractive to operate a business here. I specifically led the fight for better conditions for foster care providers, against tolls on Route 3, and for sensible housing and water quality policies. And since the COVID breakout, we have worked to provide thorough constituent service and at the same time work with local municipal leaders and county leaders, along with the administration, to provide funding and support for critically stressed municipal functions. As your representative, I have done exactly as I promised to do, and I hope for you'll vote for me, Rep. Dave DeCoste, on Tuesday, November 3rd, or in the early voting, beginning 11 October this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement, Dave DeCoste. Now let's go to the opening statement for Emmanuel Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be a candidate for state representative for the 5th Plymouth District. That includes, as you said, Rockland, Hanover, and Norwell. I live in Hanover, where my wife and Heidi and I are raising our 3 kids, Abby, Henry, and Ethan. We moved to this area specifically because it's such a great community for families. A bit about my background. My dad died when I was 9 years old. My mom was left to raise me and my 5 brothers by herself. She worked 3 jobs just to put food on the table. Despite all her hard work, though, we still struggled through poverty and homelessness. I can say without a doubt that if it wasn't for the help of our community, I would not be where I am today. When I was 17, I joined the United States Marine Corps in the infantry. My time in the Marines gave me a strong work ethic and helped me appreciate the value of working for something greater than yourself. After the Marines, I was fortunate to put myself through college and law school with help from the GI Bill. Heidi and I were looking to find a great place to raise our family, and we found that in Hanover. Since then, I've been fully committed to our community. I've built a small business in Norwell, and in Hanover, I've been the chair of the Board of Selectmen, vice chair of the Advisory Committee, and chair of the Master Plan Committee. I repeatedly hear residents of Rockland, Hanover, and Norwell telling me how sick they are of the political partisanship that's ripping our country apart. In the Marines, I didn't care about the political party of the guy standing next to me. I cared that we were working together. That was my approach to government as a Hanover selectman, and that will be how I approach the job of state rep. I believe our towns can do better. I believe the role of state rep can be so much more than it has been over the last 6 years. I will focus on economic recovery and much needed support for our local small businesses, and I will deliver more state funding and resources for our towns and the programs and projects that need them. I really appreciate you hosting us here tonight, and I look forward to talking more about our very different approaches to the job of state rep. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Emmanuel Doctor. Now let's go to questions. Questions, let's start with Kevin Tonchi.
Thank you both for being here this evening. I'll start right with talking about a real issue that's dividing the not only the Commonwealth but the country. When it comes to Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, where do you stand on protecting the lives of law enforcement or seeking reforms when it comes to systemic racism? Mr. Doctor, you first.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. You know, I'd have to take a little bit of issue with involving the two questions together, and I think that's one of the challenges that we face in the country together right now. There's a discussion about Black lives and racial issues, and then there's also a discussion about law enforcement. Too many people believe that you can only be one or the other. Too many people believe that you can only say, I believe that Black lives matter, or you can say, I support our law enforcement. I completely reject that. I believe it's a false choice. I absolutely support our local law enforcement. At the same time, I absolutely believe that Black lives matter. I don't think it has to be a choice at all. I have strong relationships locally with our law enforcement community, and I think as state rep, we need to make sure that we provide them the tools to keep us safe.
What do you feel can be done on the state level to provide better equality when it comes to Black lives and racism?
Well, I think there's a lot of complicated issues there, frankly. You know, I'm very proud of our law enforcement community in our district and their relationship with the community. I can't speak for every aspect of the state and certainly not every aspect of the country. I put out a very strong statement after the murder of George Floyd. I'm proud of that statement, and I put in there very clearly that when I speak to people in our district, it's not an either-or. They understand very clearly that there are things happening out there that are wrong and those need to be fixed. The law enforcement friends that I have understand that there are challenges in this country, but I think placing it solely on law enforcement is misguided. I think there is absolutely work to be done to improve the quality of law enforcement, just like we can do with any aspect of government. But I have to say some of the efforts that have been pushed through lately, I think are rushed, I think are not as thoughtful as they could be, and I think we can do a better job.
Dave, same question, the first question in regards to law enforcement and the Black Lives Matter.
Well, I would simply say as regards Black Lives Matter, it was raised, and you know, as you know, I spent 22 years on active duty in the service, another 7 before that. And so I was raised to believe and think of people simply as Americans and without a hyphen and just simply as a fellow citizen. And I think to go to your last point, what can be done is to make sure that everyone is treated fairly and that there are no impediments or no preferences, one or the other, so that everyone knowing whether they go to become a job or whether they go to become a buy a house or to go into any endeavor, that they're treated fairly and not based on their race or creed or any other irrelevant aspect. Now, as regards the police, that starts specifically, and as you know, that I have, this is, support of the police is not something new for me. We had a mailing with Blue Lives Matter bumper stickers and Blue Lives Protect Ours. Those bumper stickers are 4.5 years old. We have always supported the police. And as regard the new legislation, I see the red tag coming up. I would just simply say this new legislation is not going to work well.
And remember, too, if you feel like you can't finish answering a question, you can always use some of that time in your closing statement. Okay, any follow-ups for that, Kevin? Okay, Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates.
Affordable housing has been an issue in the district, Norwell in particular. Dave DeCoste, you've expressed concerns about the state's affordable housing law, 40B. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, we have, for the audience, there's a bill, legislation, that Chapter 40B, which was passed in 1969 by one vote margin, that basically allows builders to come in and disregard zoning and local preferences if they do not meet an arbitrary figure of 10%. It's a poorly written bill. It favors builders. It doesn't even, as a matter of fact, as you've heard Senator Hedlund make the point, it doesn't really help low-income housing very much. It helps developers. And I think a better way, far better way, to encourage low-income housing and affordable housing is through the housing authorities that we have. As you know, that in Norwell and in Rockland, the Norwell Housing Authorities, the teams there, provide housing for under $400 a month for those units. And they're quite affordable. And you look to the private sector, I could talk for a long time, as you know, regarding 40B. But the it is dangerous to use the 40B limitations.
Thank you. What, same question, Emmanuel Doctor?
Doctor, as a child, you spent time in homeless shelters. Does 40B live up to the job that it has to do?
Thank you. You know, I certainly think that my childhood informs my experiences, and I think a lot of our childhoods informs our views on these issues. I think 40B has challenges, but I see housing as eminently a local issue. And so as a role of state rep, I absolutely believe in pursuing not my own personal agenda, but pursuing the views of the local voters, of the local leaders. So I think, you know, this is one of those issues that can be divisive. But in reality, when I'm talking to people in the district, we all agree that our teachers, our firefighters, our police officers, they should be able to live locally. We want them to live locally. You know, we all generally agree that our seniors who have lived here their whole life, who have been here for generations in their family, we want them to be able to retire and stay here locally. We want their children to be able to remain here. So this is a challenge, I think, that is very unique to each individual town. In Hanover, we have 10% support SHI. I would just say that to the different issues of individual towns, we need to make sure that we work with the leaders in those towns and not pursue our own individual agendas.
A quick follow-up. This job is for state representative, and we know that every time 40B comes up, there's a battle between the city mice and the town mice. How would you make the changes that you want in 40B effective, given the political reality, Dave?
Well, as you know, for instance, in the case of Norwell, there was a state referendum on repealing 40B, and the town of Norwell voted the highest of any municipality in favor of that. So Norwell doesn't believe in 40B, and I tell you, I hear the same types of things in reservations in Hanover and Rockland. I'll give you an example of what we should do. In the town of Rockland, I have been working, and they've just announced it not too long ago, but I've been working quite closely with the developers who are going to develop the former Holy Family School in Rockland. And that is a type of a friendly 40B that I do support. And you'll see a number of units. By the way, unlike the typical 40B, this will be 100% affordable by the normal count. But to answer your question directly, I would go with what works. And 40B, by and large, doesn't work for affordable housing. 40B works for developers. Housing authorities work for affordable housing locally. In that respect, there are also things like encouraging apartments, in-law apartments, those type of things should be modified.
Emmanuel, Doctor, on Beacon Hill, how would you fight for the preferences of the towns over the cities?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Thanks for asking that. And I think it goes to my view of what the role of a state rep is. So I think you go to Beacon Hill, you have long-term views and long-term goals you want to accomplish. But importantly, you should also have short-term goals. And so I really am hyper-focused on local benefits and short-term issues. I can, you know, I appreciate that Dave was talking about the referendum and the vote on that, but I know that the project in Norwell, 40 River, that was approved by the town, that was approved by town meeting, went forward. Norwell was trying to get grant money, and unfortunately learned the Representative Coast was undermining those grants on the back end. I absolutely believe strongly in local leadership and management of this issue, and I would absolutely look to local elected and appointed leaders for these issues.
Dave, you have a minute to respond to that.
Yeah,
since you mentioned
I don't know what exactly you're talking about in terms of undermining any grants. I don't know of any. I can tell you, Emmanuel, that in the 3 years you were selectman, I never heard from you about anything I never heard from you about the fireworks issue. I never heard from you about water quality. I never even heard from you about Sergeant Chestnut's legislation as to how we were making on that. Do you know the one discreet thing you asked me about that I had to generate a reply for and what you wanted to know? Here's a reminder. You wanted to know how to become a judge. That email there was the only time he contacted me about anything, any issue having to do with any local issue that I had to discreetly create an answer for. Now, as regards 40B, I just gave you a perfect example of what we're doing. And I have made it a point, by the way, to work with, our locally elected housing authorities, which are separate apart from the Board of Selectmen, to develop and fund improvements in local housing.
Okay, just 30 seconds. So you did not do anything behind the scenes to try to go against this 40B project?
We did nothing along those lines. Not as a matter of fact, I would encourage anybody to take a look at 40 River Street's funding. That had extremely copious funding, and for what they were promised and what they actually delivered are two different things. And it's a lot less delivered than was promised.
Okay. Did you want to do a 30-second about
that? Quick respond, Christine. Okay. Thanks, Dave. You know, Dave, I've reached out to you many times by text, by phone, by email, the most recent of which was during COVID when I reached out to try to see if we can get special legislation, copy the other members of the Hanover Board of Selectmen on. And the response, if you remember, Dave, that you gave back to me, you said, I'm sorry, we can't move forward on this because the Republican leadership of the State House is not going to support this. I think at the end of the day, Dave, people in our district, they care about what leadership in Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland. They don't care about what some political party up at the State House is going to want to pursue. That's the reality. And to say that I haven't reached out to you, I'm going to go ahead and pull up all my emails just for that. I really appreciate that.
Well, I'll tell you, Manuel, I would appreciate that. Okay. I would appreciate you pushing up the email. You may have been courtesy copied on a number of things, but you never copied me or required about Sergeant Chestnut's legislation. Never heard from you regarding water quality, and certainly never heard from you regarding the fireworks. So you may well have been courtesy copied while I was working with Troy Clarkson or with Dave Delaney or with John Tusick or with any of the numbers, County Commissioner Pallotta, but you certainly would have never engaged on any of those issues.
Okay. Just a reminder for people that are listening, it's a political forum. It's the 5th Plymouth District. It's Norwell, Hanover, and Rockland. We've got the two candidates here. You've got the incumbent Republican, Dave DeCoste, and his challenger, Democrat Emmanuel Doctor. And let me switch topics here, and I'm going to ask you a question. Transportation issues on the South Shore seem to be like the weather. Everyone talks about it, but not much seems to be done about it. What needs to happen, Emmanuel Doctor?
Well, I think one of the issues with transportation is going to be tied back to local resources. So there's issues in all three of our towns. In Rockland, we're dealing with Union Street, trying to revitalize that area. In Hanover, we have real challenges with some dangerous intersections, especially in front of Town Hall. In Norwell, it's kind of transportation related. I was speaking with Glenn Ferguson recently about the tree maintenance that has to happen in Norwell. All of this comes down to funding that we need to take care of these expenses. If we don't get funding from the State House, often through earmarks, often through grants, then what's going to happen is the homeowners have to pay that through their property taxes. So first and foremost on transportation, we need to bring back additional funding. I think beyond that, right now with the situation of COVID, we're getting an opportunity to revisit what's happening with our transportation system in Massachusetts, and I would welcome a global revisiting of what's going to be happening with three. With
okay.
Route 3.
Same question, Dave DeCoste. What needs to happen with transportation on the South Shore, specifically in our district?
Well, I'll give you the macro and then the micro. I guess the micro first, maybe. We have worked in a number of ways to increase and better the local roads, for instance. We intervened with MassDOT to make sure that Route 53 in Norwell was paved far beyond the original plan and all the way up almost to Queen Anne's Corner, but certainly well past all of the areas that had severe potholes and addressed business owners in that section. We've secured funding for the intersection in East Water and Liberty. And I was just over there and talking to some individuals, Mr. Hannigan, Mr. McCarthy, I can mention them, they're both supporters. And working with Dave Taylor, we've got money for that. We have in the bond bill $1.5 million, because I was able to secure it as a member of the Transportation Committee, $1.5 million for the intersection of 139 in the library area in Hanover. so that that can begin to be studied and repaired and renovated. So those areas locally are what we're doing.
Okay. Let's go now to Kevin Tauchi. Questions for the candidates?
Where does drinking water rank among the issues that concern Rockland residents in Rockland, Hanover, and Norwell? And what actions have been taken or need to be taken to ensure the safety of these communities' water? And also, let's not forget, water also equals economic development as well. Mr. Doctor.
Thank you. In Rockland, my understanding is the major challenge with water is infrastructure at Union Point, tying into the water authority there. It's not so much of a quality issue, it's a quantity issue and less of a treatment. In Hanover, and I can speak into detail on this, very involved in the issue, there's a few water challenges there. One's a quantity issue. We have absolutely significant quantity in Hanover, but we keep coming up against our cap. And one of the issues that as Board of Selectmen, we reached out to our state representative multiple times on, is how can we get that permit increased from the Water Management Act? That hasn't been increased. That's something as a state rep I absolutely would focus on. We also have a water quality issue in Hanover. We just made a significant upgrade to our water treatment system, and I'm happy that that has addressed the quality issue. There was a treatment byproduct. And then in Norwell, there's also a quantity issue and quality issue as well.
Same question, Dave.
Well, the water is funny because it ties in a little bit to building. In all three towns, with the exception of two deep wells in Hanover and Norwell, no well is deeper than 70 feet. We have shallow wells. So they are very susceptible to a large septic system failure, which is another drawback of development there. We have regularly worked with, for instance, the waterworks in Abington, Rockland, to provide them more money, more funding for studies. But the idea that we're going to get a discharge permit or draw permit increased at the federal level is not going to happen. And that's a federal issue. That's not a state issue. We are working with Rockland specifically. They have an issue both inflow and outflow to upgrade their sewage system and sewage capacity, because right now they're on limits on both ends. As regards Hanover, I don't know about the quantity. I can tell you I was sitting in a forum with Victor Diniak, who I directly deal with the individuals, the waterworks folks in all three towns. They said they had one good development left for Hanover.
Thank you.
Can we ask,
follow-up?
Quick follow-up. Right. Do we know as to these communities, do they draw from an aquifer, or is there an opportunity to maybe hook up to MWRA? Is there a possibility for that?
Well, MWRA would mean an increase of 50%. Bill Cormier, an individual, he was waterworks on the joint Abington-Rockland waterworks, indicated that MWRA would be like a tax increase. And I haven't heard from any selectman nor any member of the Board of Waterworks that they wanted to hook up to the MWRA water. It also involves a very difficult route down through Weymouth, Braintree, and I'm not sure they're going to do that. Number two, the increase in terms of wells in Norwell and Hanover, they have, again, infrastructure and development, but there's a finite amount of water there to be drawn. And the more you draw out, the worse it gets. As you know, the water limitations and as you go through, has become a regular sign that you see going into town, is that there are no watering grasses and so forth. And there are limitations there in terms of what we have.
Same question in regards. So what's your knowledge as far as aquifer or maybe a possibility of hooking up to the MWRA as a solution?
Yeah, it's an interesting option. So Hanover has aquifer, and Hanover is pretty much tapped out with our wells. We can't really dig more wells to access more water. I was speaking with Victor Diniak, I think maybe about 2 weeks ago, and looking at different options, and one of the things that came up is the possibility of looking at tying into the MWRA. So that is something that I know is being looked into. It's more of a larger long-term consideration. But for right now, in the short term, we need to try to see if we can get our Water Management Act permit increased.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
Emmanuel Doctor and Dave DeCoste, I've watched each of you as selectmen. And beyond selectmen, you have certain commonalities. You both have military career, okay, Army versus Marines. At least it's not Army versus Navy. And you each have great attention to detail. I would even describe you as fastidious. Would you agree with that, Emmanuel?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you going somewhere with this, Dr. Slide?
How would you describe your differences in your personalities, Emmanuel?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. I've met Dave multiple times, usually at Eagle Scout functions. It's been a pleasure interacting with him at those. I can't speak to Dave's personality in social settings. I haven't had much interactions with him. You know, as to my personality, I can speak to my personality. I think that's a pretty accurate observation. I'm pretty impressed with that. You know, I'm very much focused on details. Given my childhood and my background, I'm very much focused on hard work. You know, a lesson that I learned growing up is that if you put in the hard work, you get something back from it. The best thing that ever happened to me is joining the Marines. Set my life on a different path, and that was great for me. The work ethic that I got from that, you know, showing up 15 minutes early instead of on time is late, doing the work well ahead of time, doing the research, making sure you have the data, making sure you're basing your decisions on intelligence and data instead of just, you know, how you're feeling. In general, that's what I try to do. I try to do as much research as possible, talk to as many people as possible to make sure that I understand what the issue is.
I've seen you drive your fellow Hanover selectmen mad over the need for data. Dave, how could you distinguish yourself from Emmanuel in terms of personality, not issues?
You know, I don't know. Folks that I know in Emmanuel and Hanover you know, speak to his fairness and his studiousness. I don't think there's much I could add. We don't travel in the same social circles, and I can say certainly that I learned the same things in terms of the military service I did too, although I know Emmanuel didn't get to go to his high school. I got to go to my graduation. It was on D-Day, and then the next Thursday I got to, I went to basic training, so we followed the same path, although Emmanuel, I did get to graduate. I know this poor guy was at Marine Corps basic training when I've always remembered that with you. So the same idea in terms of the military service and attention to detail, and I guess I may be a little bit intolerant sometimes when it comes to laziness and sloppiness. So I try to bring that self back because in the legislature that can be tough. I would say that one thing that I have as a trait is I rely heavily on subject matter experts, and whether that be police, water, what have you.
Thank you. Any follow-up? I guess my next question would be about show me the money. The state could be in big trouble. It's hard to tell because we don't have any exact numbers. We don't know what kind of money we're getting from the federal government. I'm hearing anything about budget shortfalls between $2 billion, $5 billion, $6 billion. It's hard to set a budget. It's hard to figure out where we're going. So in this pandemic economy, this is going to be two-part. Do you see a need to raise taxes? What are your ideas for how the state can stay on track when it comes to budgets and money? Let's start with Dave DeCoste.
Okay. I have taken a no to new taxes plan. The state doesn't have a problem with taxation. We have a problem with spending. And what is going to happen in the future is going to rely a little bit on what the federal government is going to be providing and not providing. I can tell you that we run a danger of raising taxes so high in this state that people begin to move. You already hear along the corridor with New Hampshire that it is almost impossible to run any type of retail business because people are shopping in New Hampshire on a regular basis. Likewise, you hear it with Tom Williams on Saturday morning regarding how many people leave the state because of inheritance taxes. The last thing we need to be doing is raising taxes and making it tougher to do business with the state. That said, I think there are certain efficiencies in government that can be effective and haven't been affected yet. And we talk about those sometime.
30 seconds. Do you think the state should tap into the rainy day fund?
Oh, yes. I think what you'll see next year for instance, we've got an $8 billion and rising hole in the unemployment fund, and what you're going to see is perhaps some borrowing. They've done it in the past to smooth that out, and certainly they will have to tap into the rainy day fund in order to provide basic services. We could talk also about the Chapter 70 formula, which is a crazy formula that really treats the donor towns, towns like our district, poorly.
And same question, Emmanuel Doctor. What do you think? Do you think we're going to need to raise taxes? What's going to happen with the state budget? And then I'm going to ask you in a separate question about the rainy day fund.
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge we're in a crisis right now, an economic crisis. In addition to the pandemic that we're going through right now, we are in an absolute emergency situation. As you said, about $6 billion is expected to have a shortfall. I was on the advisory committee in Hanover before I was on the Board of Selectmen. I know going through all the budgets and digging into the numbers. We have 20% of all of our restaurants in Massachusetts have closed permanently. They're not coming back. And we expect that number to jump significantly. We're not going to have any Christmas office parties out there this Christmas. We need to put everything on the table to make sure that we support our small businesses. We asked our small businesses to close to support and save the health of this country and in this state. They did that, and now they're falling apart. We need a massive, massive relief package for our small businesses. I know the government has given massive relief to investment banks, to other businesses. We need to do the same thing for our small businesses. We need to find a way.
Do you think that the state of Massachusetts needs to raise taxes? 30 seconds.
I think, let me speak, I think everything should be on the table. Absolutely,
okay.
Everything should be on the table.
So possibly?
And including accessing the rainy day fund.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I was going to ask you the rainy day fund too. Okay. Let's go, Kevin Tucci.
Can I just follow up on that just to be clear? You know, one of the challenges is that when you talk about finances, when you talk about big economic policy, there's a big picture, there's a long-term picture, but there's also a small picture of the individual worker in the town. There's the firefighter that needs that union contract to be paid. There's the nurse who's getting laid off and needs to make sure that unemployment comes through.
Okay.
So I look at this as a local issue. I look at it as the person, the individual at the table. I don't look at it as a big, massive economic policy in this economic crisis.
Okay. Did you want to add anything else? 30 seconds, Dave?
Well, I can tell you that one year before last, I was a Small Business Defender of the Year from the NFIB, and I make it a point to go to small businesses daily. And I can tell you I haven't heard any of them crying out for a tax increase. I can tell you that the amount of regulation is killing, in many cases, small businesses or driving them elsewhere. So it is a matter of, I think, atmosphere and state focus. And in that respect, by the way, Governor Baker has done a superb job.
And I know we're not at the lightning round yet, but let me just ask you this as a tie-in to this. Are you worried about the state finances here in Massachusetts, yes or no?
Yes.
Dave? Okay.
Yes.
Emmanuel, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Kevin Tucci.
One of the two ballot questions focuses on the right to repair. The argument seems to be whether computer codes that are automobile generated should be openly shared to all repair shops or just certified dealers. What do you stand on this question? And I ask it because I have a little story, something I want to say afterwards, but I want to get your take. Emmanuel.
You know, to what I understand about the question, I think that individual small businesses who are trying to work on these vehicles should be able to do that. The owners should have that opportunity to do that. So I would say that I'm yes, I believe. Hope I got that. I want to say quickly also that I've seen a lot of the advertising for, I believe, the no campaign, and I think it's fear-mongering. I'm very disappointed by it. I think that there's a business argument to be made. I appreciate that, but I don't agree with some of the advertising that's out there.
Same question, Dave. What do you stand on this particular
I'll be
question?
Voting yes on that. I think it will allow our small businesses to compete. Yes.
And I only bring this up because my vehicle needs some repairs, and I've taken it to a small shop. And for some reason, they couldn't figure out what it was. And I spent a little bit of money. And I took it here in your district to a place. And they read the code. And the amount that they were going to charge was like, oh, my God, I might as well buy a new vehicle. But then when I took it to a smaller shop or a couple of them, it was a little more economical. So just wanted to see where you stood on that.
Thank you for your car talk. Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates.
Dave DeCoste, you decided to try to manage the state representative job and the selectman's job that lasted for what, a, a, almost a year?
Oh, I finished up. Let's see. I was sworn in, and then that June we left.
Okay.
Sworn in January, left in June. So I finished up, but I certainly wouldn't do it again.
Yeah. Why did you decide to try that?
Because I wanted to focus. I mean, when I became a state representative, this is my focus work. And I tell you, if you do the job correctly, we are busy Mondays. We up till COVID, I was one of the very few representatives who was, available every day Friday for people to see. And either my aide or myself, usually myself, was there in Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland every Friday for 90 minutes in each town. You need to be available. My cell phone number, personal cell phone number, is available. As today, I had two constituents call me directly regarding unemployment. I spoke to both John Tuzik and Dave Delaney, and you call me regularly. I both supporters, and I appreciate the support. And I spoke to one of our North River representatives on the North River Commission regarding some work we have to do. So you need to be available all the time.
1 minute's top, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. You bet.
Okay.
Emanuel, Doctor, you're currently a Hanover selectman. Would you attempt to do both jobs at the same time if you're elected representative?
No, I was a Hanover selectman. I just finished my term, and I decided not to run for reelection because I wanted to run for this position. I think, as Dave pointed out, it's tough to do both at the same time, and so that was why I came off to focus just on this position for state rep.
Okay. Great. Okay.
All right. There was an anonymous letter that went out in one of the towns in your district during the town's local election that had some pretty harsh comments. I did see a copy of it, about local politicians, both Democrats and Republicans. There was profanity in it, and it was reportedly written by an adult, and it was unsigned. That took no guts. Reportedly under the guise of improved government representation. I would say it was at the level of a 13-year-old posting snarky remarks on Facebook, but I think that would be an insult to 13-year-olds. My questions are you aware of this letter, and do you support this kind of campaigning? Let's start with you, Emanuel Doctor.
I've been aware of a few letters that have gone out, and I absolutely do not support it. All the letters I've read have been absolutely disgusting and despicable. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to point out is anybody who sends an anonymous letter and doesn't have the nerve or the backbone to sign that letter, to say this is who I am, it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful.
Okay. Your thoughts on this, Dave DeCoste?
Well, if you're talking about the one that insulted me and the former rep, all I will tell you is that it was vulgar. It was unfair, and it has no place in public discourse. I think that's about where we stand on that.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Kevin?
Well, I'm going to follow up on what you had just said, because, when it comes to state and local races, they always have their share of shenanigans, mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. Whether it's sign stealing or negative videos or party-sponsored mailers that spread misinformation. Has your particular race been privy to such shenanigans? Dave?
Well, there's been someone stole a manual sign, and there was a big brouhaha about it. We had, as you know, last year, last election, someone was collecting all the Republican signs. So we had a collection of Tedeschi and my signs and O'Connor signs and Jeff Deal signs all being ripped up. And we did what we were supposed to do. We called the police and reported it. And that's what I have told my constituents to do. As you recall, there were hundreds they found at the intersection of, well, coming up on 100 anyway. But I certainly didn't accuse my opponent of stealing them. And I know Peter Tedeschi didn't accuse Representative Keating's folks. You may have some misguided folks who, for whatever reason, either as a setup or to throw one candidate in a bad light, pull them up. It's a felony, and Ted Ross did the right thing in Norwell and threatened to have them arrested. Report it to the police if it happens.
Say with you, any shenanigans?
Yeah, there has been some shenanigans, unfortunately. So, yeah, there was a sign stealing. You know, fortunately, we had a video to record it. There's been a number of other signs that are taken, not just that one. But that's not really the big issue. You know, Dave, the issue that I have are the emails that you sent out. So, you know, I have a number of supporters in town who are Republicans, Democrats, unenrolled. And I get forward an email from Dave that shares around a quote-unquote a negative ad in your district from Mass GOP. And I think this is my issue, Frank, with politics now. This is the issue most people have. Politics just seems to be this kind of battle between people. It seems to be kind of tearing people apart, trying to go negative, trying to find a way to tear someone down. I'm trying to bring people together. I'm trying to find issues to focus on that's going to help everyone. You know, we put out notification of that to hope that it kind of stopped. Unfortunately, Dave, I know yesterday you sent out another email completely misrepresenting my views. You know, I think it's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate. I'd rather have a campaign that's talking about, you know, what's happened over the last 6 years, right? I know you have a lot to talk about, Dave, about what you've done the last 6 years. So let's talk about that.
Dave, you want to answer the...
We have sent out no letter except a campaign email yesterday. And as regard the letter that the video that the Republican State Committee sent out, it was simply really not a negative letter. It's a pro-police video. Now, it may, being pro-police, it may throw one side in a negative light versus the other. I can tell you that I have been endorsed, and we'll go through these endorsements, by every major pro-police or every major police organization in the state, because there is probably very few legislators, if any, at this point, who have forwarded and offered more legislation to either protect police, enter the death penalty for cop killers, or raise or protect the families of police than I have. So I would say raising the current treatment and conditions that the police are living under and threatened with, not by, you mentioned the Republican leader, not by the Republican leader's office legislation. That's not negative. That's just truthful.
Any other follow-ups? Okay. Charles?
Can I just follow up on that?
Okay.
Just to be clear, because I'm not categorizing this as a negative ad.
Okay.
You know, Dave, your email specifically quoted it as a negative ad in your district from the Mass GOP. And what was the ad? It was a looping video of a car on fire talking about Democrats who are not supporting law enforcement. And you know, Dave, you know that I'm a strong supporter of law enforcement. As a Marine Corps veteran in the infantry, many of my colleagues in the Marines have gone on to be in law enforcement. I have numerous friends in law enforcement, close friends and family in law enforcement. So to in any way suggest that I am not a strong supporter in law enforcement or that I in any way support defunding the police is not accurate.
Reply?
Okay.
Very
third.
Good.
Yeah, okay.
It's not personal in this case, Emmanuel, but your first vote is going to be for who? For what? It's going to be for the leadership of the House. And the leadership of the House proffered the current police bill that strips police officers of qualified immunity, that would limit their ability to protect themselves, that would threaten the ability of their families to live in fear of lawsuits, all right, would put non-police officers on boards. It's a horrible bill, and it's proffered by your side.
Okay. Yeah, may I follow up on
that? Okay, quick 30 seconds.
Yeah, and just quick, Dave, you know that I made a press release very clearly opposing that, very clearly, and absolutely defending qualified immunity. So to in any way say that I would be in support of taking away qualified immunity or undermining the union protection that our law enforcement and first responders have is not accurate. If I become state rep, I'll see who I'm going to vote for leadership. I'm not thinking about that at this point right now. I'm trying to get in there so I can represent people here locally.
Okay, let's go to the next topic. Charles?
Okay, kids, you may want to have a lot of agreement, but our job is to locate the differences between you for the voters. So, you're going to make me put my glasses on. Emmanuel, Dave has taken in $27,863 and has spent only $700,846. His revenue included $1,000 from himself and the rest from individuals. What do you think that says about him?
You know, I don't know. I don't have a strong answer as to what the financing says about and where the contributions. I haven't gone through a lot of Dave's contributions. I'm really focused on speaking to people locally. It's a challenge right now. I can appreciate the finance campaign during COVID. You know, as Dave and I were talking about just before we started the forum, you can't really do fundraisers during this time. So, you know, I don't want to read into any kind of contributions that Dave has received one way or another, except to say I'm focused on the campaign. I'm focused on speaking with people. I'm focused on moving forward and trying to have this a positive campaign as possible.
Okay. Dave, Manuel has taken in $58,232 compared to your 27, mm-hmm. and he spent $18,310 as opposed to your $7. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of support from unions, mm-hmm. and he gave himself a $20,000 loan. Mm-hmm. What do you think that says about him?
Well, it says he's able to cut himself a $20,000 check, and that's fine. Look, I agree with Emmanuel. It is tough to run locally. I pride myself in the fact we're getting a lot of local support. And by the way, our numbers are up. You just haven't seen them because we haven't plugged it in. But we're getting an awful lot of support from local police officers in Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland to include in the greater community. And by the way, from the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association, which is relevant to our district because we have over in Hanover alone 150 Boston police officers, not to include the other two towns in Hanover and Rockland and their families. So we're glad to have all the local support. It's coming in, and I think you'll see our numbers coming up. As to my spending, I guess I'm just a naturally I'm a pretty tight individual anyway when it comes to spending, and we're getting better at doing things in a more conservative and thrifty fashion when it comes to fundraising and spending.
I knew you were going to say that.
Here you go.
Okay. We had a couple listeners write in questions, and this was one of them that they asked. Please ask Dave DeCoste how he defends being one of the 8 House members to vote against banning gay conversion therapy in Massachusetts last year. Does he believe that the people of his district support conversion therapy? Dave?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because that comes up, and particularly on character assassination posts, usually in Facebook. I voted against that because it violates NIFLA versus Becerra, the recent Supreme Court case that defines professional speech as speech. And that's why I voted against it. You can, Lou, if you do some research, you'll find that the city of New York actually revoked a similar bill because they were afraid it was going to go before the Supreme Court. But that kind of goes on to never did aversive therapy and did shock therapy only in one place in the state, and that was ceased when President Trump, the current administration, banned shock therapy. So we don't do aversive therapy. This was an attack basically on professional speech, and to get around to it, if you speak to many Protestant ministers in my area, many of them came up to me and explained how it would limit their ability to do counseling.
Okay, thank you. Emmanuel Doctor, what do you think about that? How would you have voted on this bill had you been in office?
It's hard for me to speak on this issue more strongly. You know, Dave, I just completely disagree. I think that the reasoning as an attorney doesn't make sense. My father was a minister. My brother's a minister. I have plenty of ministers who I know who are friends with. I don't understand this bill in any way to inhibit their ability to counsel families that are in their tutelage. And so it's hard for me to understand how not to strongly support the members of our community who are LGBTQ. Coming out in a family can be very, very difficult. And to have this kind of, say, therapy as an option is just, I don't see how any society could have this out there as an option.
Kevin Tachi, questions?
I think Charles put it eloquently earlier that there are a lot of similarities between the both of you. And first off, thank you for your service to our country. One of the things that I noticed was that, Emmanuel, you mentioned about wanting to see lower taxes. Dave, you've previously said that you'd like to see the rollback of the sales tax. In this day and age, and I know Christina talked about taxes as well earlier, you had mentioned about taxes and it being on the table if in fact we needed to generate revenue. So which is it? Is it that you want to help families that are struggling with taxes, Emmanuel, or is it a matter of that you want to raise taxes if it's needed?
Yeah, I think it's a false choice again. I think that's a completely false choice.
Okay.
You know, my view is not that we should be out there raising taxes. And when I often talk about taxes, I'm talking about property taxes. That's a major tax that anyone spends usually in our towns. And the way to address property taxes is to try to bring in more state funds. And as a state rep, that's one of your main jobs, bringing in funds, whether it's through earmarks, whether it's through grants, whether it's through other state resources. As far as the current economic crisis that we're in, we are in an emergency. We are in an emergency. And whether the state needs to access the rainy day fund, whether it needs to borrow additional money, as I know that's taken out a line already on. But more importantly, we need to be looking to the federal government. And I'm very hopeful that we'll be getting funds from the federal government, whether it's through the HEROES Act or through additional federal legislation. Locally, what I'm focused on is that you can change the financial issues in the big picture. You can adjust the coffers of the federal government and the state government. You can't do that in the small picture. When you've missed your mortgage payment, you've missed it. When you can't buy food, you can't buy food. We have to take care of our local neighbors.
Sure, I understand that. But you understand that that's what you're campaigning on, is that you want to help lower taxes. But during our conversation here, you had mentioned that it would be something that would be on the table as far as raising taxes. That's why I put that.
Yeah, I just want to be clear that I would need to look at what the option is.
Okay.
Clearly, just an across the board increase of income tax, for example, absolutely not.
Okay.
That's not gonna help us get us out of this economic crisis that we're in.
Do you still be on board with rolling back the sales tax, Dave, or is this something that you can't think about now because of COVID-19?
Long term, we can look at it, but I think right now we have to. By the way, I kind of disagree with the ability to bring. There are other ways to bring in money, as you all know, and I've had commercials on WATD. There's no greater champion of the senior circuit breaker tax benefit than I have. We have had regular programs in the senior centers championing that program, and I still think. A supporter of mine, Charles Markham and Noel, did a study, and he case a smart guy, an MIT graduate, looked at the numbers. He still thinks we're leaving about $1.5 to $2 million on the table because so many senior citizens still do not file for that. So number one, you get the money where we need it, and that's one way to do it. Number two, you don't want to be in a position where we could follow Connecticut or New Jersey or Illinois down the hole of raising taxes. Because businesses, as we found, will pick up and leave. Look what's happening to New York City right now. They have had people leave, and it looks as though many of them are not coming back.
But okay. if you roll back the taxes, will that not put the state in a deeper hole?
You know, I'm not sure, because you'd really have to do some dynamic versus static analysis on that, because there comes a point where people now are going to New Hampshire as a matter of course for any big purchase if they live close to the border. And you talk to somebody who is trying to run a business in Groton or Dracut or Haverhill, it is tough for them to be in any type of business that sells tires, appliances, any large ticket jewelry, any large ticket item. I could tell you in the Fort Devens area, having been stationed there as in my younger days, people regularly went to the Pheasant Lane Mall for any type of big purchase. So I am not sure what we should do, but raising taxes should come as a last resort, and there's a lot of fat in the government to be cut, potentially.
Okay, I want to go to lightning round now. Mm-hmm. We're getting down to the end of our hour here. A lightning round question for our candidates, Charles. And remember, this is either yes or no, and that means yes or no without a long soliloquy or explanation or one or two sentences tops. Lightning round question for the candidates, Charles.
Just to make it tougher, one place in the district that you really like to hang out in.
Okay.
I know there are three towns, one place.
Okay. Dave DeCoste.
One place.
Yes.
Lately, Mineros, when it was open.
Okay.
In Rockland.
Forge Pond Park, I'd say.
Okay. Captain Thompson.
I want to defer to you for your favorite question.
County government. Stay or go? Dave DeCoste.
Stay.
Stay. County government.
Stay. Okay. Local control is important.
Thank you. Captain Tachi.
List your top three priorities, just quickly, if elected or reelected to office.
Dave? Top
right now, top three, I would say we got to do something about this police bill to stop it, and then local aid and school funding. And a fourth would be transportation, but I can't add that. So, right?
Emmanuel, doctor.
Economic recovery is absolutely top. Bringing back more funding to the district to try to bring down our property taxes, and absolutely supporting our first responders during this time, making sure they have proper staffing.
And you fourth?
And the fourth, transportation.
Okay, Charles?
This is one of my favorite questions. What is your favorite bad habit? It has to be your own bad habit. Emmanuel, I know this is tough for you two guys, you know?
I tend to micromanage more than I should.
Okay. Dave?
I'm glad you asked him first. It gave me, I guess I can be a slave to lists, task lists,
okay,
sometimes.
Great. We're going to go to our closing statements now. We're going to switch the order that we began with. So we're going to begin with Emmanuel Doctor, 1 minute, and then we're going to go to Dave DeCoste.
Thank you. And thank you again for having me here tonight, hosting this discussion. I hope this was helpful for voters still making up their minds about state representative in the 5th Plymouth District. Our neighbors in Rockland, Hanover, and Norwell have two candidates to choose from who have very different positions and approaches to government. I'm running for state rep because political partisanship is tearing this country apart. And unfortunately, Dave, I think your approach is part of the challenge. Your extreme position on issues, unwillingness to work across the aisle on preventing South Shore residents from getting the representation they deserve, and it's keeping our towns from getting the resources we need. I'm a Marine Corps vet. I've been involved in Hanover for my kids' school and serving as a selectman, a nonpartisan office. Both experiences remind me every day that we need to stop focusing on left and right and start spending more time thinking about right and wrong. I have the experience, the desire to get things done by working together, and I share your priorities for the towns we love so much. I respectfully ask for your vote, and I look forward to working hard to earn your support.
Thank you very much. That was Emmanuel Doctor. Closing statement, Dave DeCoste.
Once again, I'd like to thank the WATD for sponsoring this forum. And tonight, I'm asking the voters of the 5th Plymouth District to continue working as your state representative. My focus will be continue to develop good legislation with my peers across the aisle. Legislators like Democrat Colleen Gary, who I've sponsored legislation to protect police issues with, Representative Democrats Carmine Gentile and Representative Hawkins from Attleboro, where I have sponsored legislation for senior tax relief. Local legislators like Pat Carney and Josh Cutler working to protect the North River. And finally, Representative Nika El-Yugato, who you've had on here on WATD, to help a number of issues to include senior tax relief, health reform, and also veterans. If I'm elected, my focus will be work with the governor to make the Commonwealth a better place to live. I'll appreciate your vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to the candidates for the 5th Plymouth District, Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland, Emmanuel Doctor, Democrat, the challenger, Republican incumbent Dave DeCoste. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Kevin Tachi, Monday Night Talk host, asking questions along with Charles Mathewson, our engineer Larry Nelson, our timer Amy Leonard, and of course, thank you, Harbor Media, Norwell Spotlight TV. This will be online on WATD. Selected cuts will play tomorrow morning. Stay tuned to WATD for complete election night coverage. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Good evening, and thank you for listening.